Hello and welcome to Profiles in Risk Global Edition. Thanks to the Insurance Elephant, today I have with me Joel Macharia, co-founder and CEO at Moti Sure in Kenya. Joel, thank you for being with me today. How's it going?
Thanks, Tony. I'm pretty good. I'm super excited about what the future looks like for insurance in Africa. And essentially from us as Moti Sure, we are essentially an insurtech that is focused on last mile distribution of micro insurance products within the mobility space.
Okay.
Happy to be here.
Last mile distribution insurance
of micro products, insurance mobility. Products.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I have been to Africa. I've been to Morocco in the north. And I've been to South Africa in the very south. I have not been to Kenya. My girlfriend visited Kenya before she met me, and she loved it. Absolutely loved it. So at some point we'll probably go back because I want to do a safari in Kenya. But I'm thoroughly unfamiliar with what the insurance market in Kenya looks like, what the insurtech market looks like in Kenya. So tell me, so Moti Sure. Last mile distribution of insurance products for mobility. Tell me more, bring it down to the level of like a fifth grader. Help me understand what you guys are doing.
Okay, cool. So I'll start off with a story. So essentially back in 2018, I was running a different company, Moti Guy, that was essentially focused on trying to democratize the service and repair industry of vehicles. And we built out a telematics solutions out of that using a tracking device. But then it didn't pick up in the marketplace. So we sought out our customers to understand why that was. And then that's when, we started getting into the insurance side of things where insurance in Africa is very, very different from what insurance should be in the sense of most people only care about, compliance when it comes to regulations, right? So a guy will get an insurance product for his car so that the police don't stop him, right, on the road. So that's why they get not really as a safety net or something that could, really come into play when it comes to financial resilience or anything of the sort. So when we did our own surveys, research, and tried to understand the customer a bit better, it's when we realized the disconnect between the products that existed vis-a-vis what the customer wanted to see, right? So so that was intriguing for me, and we set out to understand the customer a bit better and did a couple of focus groups. And that's when we learned that, for most of the products within Africa, they're basically built backwards, right? So they start in a boardroom with the carriers such as yourself, and then it's pushed to the industry, and then the industry doesn't pick it up, and then the insurers keeps wondering where the penetration is only at less than 3% within the whole country.
So in the whole country, less than 3% of drivers have insurance beyond what is legally required, or less than 3% have what is legally required?
No, the numbers are quite shocking because we're talking about in Kenya alone, we have over 54 million people, but only 3% of that, less than 3%, has any form of insurance.
Even though it is required.
Yes. This is beyond mobility. And this is actually beyond mobility, right? We're looking at health, you're looking at life, you're looking at education, like zero uptake. Almost zero uptake because 2.something percent doesn't make sense.
So based on your research, why is the uptake so low? Is it a matter of culture? Is it a matter of not being able to pay for it? Is it a matter of the product that's available being hard to get to, hard to buy? Is it a matter of the product that's available being unaffordable for the average person? Is it a lack of awareness? Pulling ideas, what could it be? So what have you guys found that leads to this low uptake?
So there's so many challenges in the industry, but I'll start with the three that bottom up to the top. So we're looking at affordability is a big issue. because of how products are configured. Usually they are yearly products that are too super expensive. You look at access to the actual insurance, right? So even for some of us who are a bit more, tech savvy, it's still hard for me to get an educational policy off the comfort of my home, right? So it's an access issue. It's an affordability issue. And then even when you get to the products, right, the coverage in terms of what you'd want to see in a product is not, doesn't relate with the common, user of the product. So it's a couple, it's a myriad of challenges, but those are the top three as far as we're concerned based on our research. And that is what has led to, low insurance penetration or adoption within the African space.
Okay.
And we're trying to solve that as well.
So how is Multisure solving or starting to solve this problem?
So there are a couple of things we've done off of, the customers. So for example, in terms of affordability, we've been able to slice payments to a per day sort of product for drivers and riders within the African space. We're doing a per trip cover as well. So you just get a, from one point to the other, you just get a micro product and you're essentially covered. In terms of access, we've done two things, right? One is we've created a whole agency network around users of either motor taxis, right? These are two-wheelers, all drivers, right? So we use aggregators and then get in touch with them and then help distribute our particular products. And then we've also built a whole, omni-channel approach on the chatbot side when it comes to the technology side. And I'll delve into that a bit more later. And then in terms of the products, we've built the initial product we had, we built it from the customer backwards. So we got them to list the benefits they wanted to see, subjected it to a vote. And then the ones that, were the highest, in terms of the needs of the customers is what we went to the underwriter with and asked them, could you please help curate this particular product? And 80% of them say no. Right. So it's a weird hybrid personal accident cover that, that spans life, medical, general insurance, all that kind of thing. And we had to get an underwriter in the UK or a broker in the UK to try and get us that particular product. And that's how we ended up with that particular product. And what we've seen in the marketplace is that, we have an 80% adoption rate for every customer we've talked to in terms of our product, because it resonates with them, it was created by them, and it seems to work for them.
Okay, so hold on. I don't do math well.
Okay, okay.
You're a computer science major, so you had to get through a lot of math in school. I attempted computer science, and it turns out if you can't do math, computer science is not in your future. But my math is good enough to realize that if adoption in the country is 3% and 80% of the people you're getting in front of are buying, you're like, this is magnitudes, levels to the nth power. You're being more effective in reaching people by designing from the customer out and building solutions that actually work for them. That is amazing. And you've been doing this, according to LinkedIn, the current company for a year and a half, and then the prior company, which was not insurance, for about 4 years. Amazing. So after a year and a half, how many customers do you guys serve? How many policies are out there for Multisure?
So let me start off with we covered 20 different towns, geographically distributed within the country. And out of the 20 towns, we got to engage 15,000 riders, right? These are motor taxi, which is the most common form of transport within Africa. Mm-hmm. And out of the 15,000, we actually onboarded 12,000 immediately, right? And then based on our capacity, because you're a bootstrap company, we couldn't handle more than the 15,000, hence the number. And what we've noticed is that there's a spiral effect, right? Like this is something that like clicks with most of our users in terms of the product positioning, the way we've approached it. We did a lot of customer education, which was hard to do and very expensive. But what we noticed with that is that when we started with the customer education first, we ended up having a higher retention rate of the customer, right? For most guys, they just, you know, create products and then throw it out there through social media and hope people will buy, right? So we've done it a bit different in terms of the approach. And that has led us to, you know, like we have 12,000 actively paying customers day on day. And these are micro payments. So you're looking at 10 cents, you know, to the dollar per day. And that's a product that they essentially get, which is like $3,500 worth of value, right? Combined value.
Okay, so $3,500 so, is the limit.
That's the limit.
You would pay if exactly. you had an accident.
Yeah.
For 10 cents, we get you $3,500 for the day. And yes. you can activate it today, not activate it tomorrow, basically activate it just on days that you're going to drive.
Exactly.
I'm guessing straight from your phone.
Yes. So there's a lot of things there. So essentially, the way we built it is that we built a WhatsApp chatbot. And I'll send you a link. You can play around with it. And users come in through the WhatsApp chatbot at the first point of touch, right? Because everyone has, you know, everyone in Kenya, we're a bit, you know, we leapfrog, you know, technology. So almost everyone of my riders has a WhatsApp access, whether it's on his phone or through someone else's, and they onboard themselves, right? So what usually happens is that there's mobile money payment, the infrastructure of mobile money, that's M-Pesa. So essentially from your phone, you can actually make an actual payment directly to a merchant code that is tied to our business, and you actually get a cover immediately on the phone on the fly, right? So that has been super helpful to make it super easy for our users to, you know, like do it in the comfort of their home, any time of the day, it doesn't matter, right? Make a claim whenever they want and very easy to, you know, use as well.
Okay, so it sounds to me like you've got amazing product, amazing service, and amazing product market fit. The customer, when you get in front of them, a ridiculous percentage of them wants to buy, right?
Yeah.
So the limiting factor that's keeping you from insuring 54 million people, you know, so from insuring God knows how many millions of drivers in Kenya.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a matter of capacity. It's a matter of capital to back up the those claims.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if you yet have a whole year of data, but what kind of loss ratio are you producing?
So the actual numbers are around 20%. But we're looking to push that to, we are looking to flip that, right? So one of the core models for Motissure is to pay as many claims as we can, right? Mm-hmm. So that then we can bring in on as many people as we can, and then we can upsell them X number of products, right? Because one of the biggest challenges out here in Africa is every time you mention, like we noticed that in our behavioral research that we did a couple of, you know, months ago, every time we mentioned insurance to our users, they immediately walked out or walked away. So the lingo, you know, the lingo is not, you know, our lingo is, you know, more on the cover side. And there's something we are playing around with as we speak in terms of, you know, more on the social construct of what their traditional coping mechanisms were. And then, you know, talking about something like that looks like a warranty of some sort, right? That's the closest thing I can use for guys, you know, guys to understand. But it's like we are really trying to change even the narrative of how we communicate the insurance, you know, cover itself to the end users. Because traditionally, most underwriters do not pay claims, right? There's always a fine print somewhere that says, you know, hey, you didn't shave your beard so you couldn't see properly or whatever it is, you know? And what we've noticed is that if we pay more people, especially on the microspace, right? These are small ticket sizes of $25, $35, not so high amounts. The more you pay people, the more they pay for the premium upfront. Like we've noticed that from the data where we have customers we paid for like a medical expenses, you know, component or benefit. and they immediately paid for the whole year. Right? That tells you something. And these are gay, like actually, like over 60% of my users have never had any contact with any form of insurance. So that tells you a lot, right? Like people are craving for these products, but they cannot get them the way they want, and they don't work for them the way they would want for them to buy extra products from the insurance companies.
What other products are you currently offering? What other products are you preparing to offer in the future?
So I think the push on our side is more on the technology side. So we're trying to play around with smart contracts, you know, all these buzzwords. I don't want to use them right now because I'm a techie as well. It's just trying to figure out how can we really change how insurance is done within the African context, and then model it around behavior. That's very important for us, right? So we're looking at, like, what you start noticing quickly is once you pay a claim within a certain region and the word spreads out, they come back to you and ask you, can you extend some medical product for my wife or my kids or, you know, whatever it is. And then later on, when people start over-interacting with the product, they start asking you for, oh, I want to take care of my kids in case something happens to me. Is there something that we can do on the education side, right? They don't know it's an education policy they're asking for. They're just trying to protect, you know, their families or their extended families.
They're basically reinventing insurance the exact same way that it was invented in the developed world long ago, except that they're doing it in a lower cost way because of the technology we have.
Exactly.
But it is kind of amazing to watch, or in my case, to listen to it. It really is, because I'm a giant insurance nerd, and I've read a lot about the history of insurance in the US, the history of insurance in the UK, history of many insurance companies. And very often it starts this way. Very often it's a few people who know each other, who have the same risk, protecting each other. And then over time, it as it gains penetration in the population, you don't know everybody as well as you used to, and you start getting bad actors. You start getting fraud, and you start getting those problems, and then you have to start bulking up your claims, and things slow down, and eventually three generations down, the client no longer loves you. The client is complaining about insurance being mandatory and like never getting their money's worth. So it's so interesting to see it happening from the ground up, but leapfrog the technology. We do have a lot of listeners that are either venture capital firms or angel investors. What kind of investments are you looking for to be able to scale this thing to the rest of the Kenyan market?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
I mean, we just started our fundraising round, and for what we want to build out, right, we are looking at least $1.3 million, and that should essentially get us to, you know, 300,000 active riders and over 1 million commuters covered, right? There's a lot we want to do on the product development side, right? In terms of like the smart contracts, the omni-channel approach, a lot more on the data side. That, you know, that also like costs quite a bit, right? And also grow the team. We've bootstrapped as a team of five so far. And, you know, like we want to grow that to at least 15 people and, you know, keep on like building on whatever it is we've learned. And just to mention, like, there are a couple of things that we've seen even in the business in terms of verticals that are real game changer. So for example, a month ago we rolled out a fuel card. So essentially the fuel card works is for all our riders or drivers, we generate for them a fuel card and then give them. So what essentially happens is they get a discount for every liter of fuel they consume. And that discount is used for what you're calling insurance points that then can be redeemed to buy different products. Okay. Now, behind the scenes, I mean, like if I'm to talk, you know, big picture, it's essentially figuring out the infrastructure or the rails for micropayments and crazy customer retention. Right. So everyone, like all our riders, they have 12 touch points in a day, for example. But the only one you can automatically essentially like plug in and embed the product in is only the fuel, because they are largely informal, right? So what you've noticed is that for every rider we've given a fuel card to, they've paid for a whole month worth of fuel every single day. These are 3 to 5 liters worth of fuel every single day. And then they've started like even increasing the way they consume fuel so they can get more insurance points and then they can redeem for other things. So we're starting to like play around with some of these concepts around, because one of the biggest challenges in Africa is figuring out micropayments, right? So Africa, the structure is, there's Kenya on this other side. We have mobile money. Everyone has mobile money in the country. But then you go to a place like, you know, Morocco, for example, the mobile money penetration might not be the same as the Kenyan one, right? Yeah, so it's trying to figure out how do you then not disrupt people in terms of their behavior and what they do every single day, but then you model products around their normal way of life, right? And then use traditional coping mechanisms to again, like for us, our smart contracts play, which is something I was actually just debugging a couple of minutes ago. We're trying to figure out how do they, in terms of like for a claim, when a claim happens, it has like three layers to it, right? So there you think about like the blockchain where, you know, Tony has to sort of like approve, I have to approve, and someone else has to approve. That's sort of like the context in terms of what you're trying to achieve on the smart contract side, which is still pretty much based off of the social construct we had in or we have in Africa, where we do fundraising, right? For an event, like for example, if someone gets into an accident, then you know, we'll come together, contribute some money. Now we have weird scenarios in my space where for my riders, what they do in case of an accident is that they hold a rope across the road and no motorist can pass without contributing towards the kitty. That's their coping mechanism,
that,
right?
That so, is the most creative thing I have heard in all of insurance in 12 and a half years.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah, it's crazy out here. And then you know you sit there and you watch that and you be part of the process because you're trying to get in, you know, to understand the people, and you also help them hold the rope as you're trying to, you know, and figure out why do you have to do this, right? And then you know you start realizing when you start talking to these particular individuals that's their last resort, right? That's their coping mechanism. That's all they can do to get, you know, to the end in terms of like medical expenses. And then you talk to them about, we do not sell insurance at that point. We just try and understand why. And then ask them like, you know, what if you had, you know, like you start juxtaposing some of these things and say, okay, supposing I gave you an option in terms of this, how would that look like for you, you know? And why we have a huge conversion rate for, it's because of how we approach this particular product with the customer themselves.
I'm speechless. This is so very interesting. I've done 3 or 4 episodes with other Africans or about Africa, and by far the most interesting one we've done thus far. You've given me a lot of insight into the African insurance market. Thank you so much for your time. I look forward to see you guys continue to grow. When this goes live, I will tag both you and the company on LinkedIn. Investors, okay. Oh my God, come on. 1.3 million bucks to get a foothold in a market of 54 million drivers. And by the way, there's probably other markets that are similar to Kenya, right? India, and there's probably other large African countries that or even Asian countries, or even Latin American countries that have similar challenges. If Joel can perfect this model, there's no reason for it not to be able to be expanded to Vietnam or Cambodia or Thailand or other large groups of population that are significantly underserved. This is an amazing opportunity, not only to make a difference in the developing world, but also to do very well while doing that. And all it takes is having the guts to invest a little bit of your portfolio outside of your comfort zone. So glad that we got the chat, really. Thank you so much for your time today. And by the way, I should say it's 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. If I'm not mistaken, it's about 12:30, about 30 minutes past midnight for you. So I really appreciate you staying up to have a conversation with me. For other in developing world insurtechs working with the insurance elephant, I recently met with them and they shared the feedback. I think it was yesterday. They shared the feedback that it is hard for insurtechs on the other side of the world to chat with me, come on the podcast during my usual recording hours, which are 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. So basically, I have created a new, and I'm sorry that you didn't get to benefit from this, but next time I have created a new scheduling link that exclusively for insurtechs that are working with the insurance elephants that allows a little bit of morning hours in my Eastern time and a little bit of Saturday hours and Sunday hours. So basically trying to make it easier for the rest of the developing world founders to be able to come on the show without staying up till super late. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Tony. Really, glad to have a chance to basically just, talk about Motissue and what you're trying to build, and look forward to, connecting and learning more. I've listened to a lot of your podcasts from some other places. Pretty awesome stuff.
Awesome.
So thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.